Welcome one and all to the 6 Point Weekend Podcast. This is episode number 44 of the official podcast of Oak City Supporters, supporters of the North Carolina Football Club. I am your erstwhile host, Dave, sitting in for Papa Chuck this week, and I am here to tell you, if you plan on ordering from the hibachi joint at Park West Village in Cary, don't get the shrimp.
And I'm Ebony.
I am joined by Ebony and our special guest.
Hey, everybody.
Oh, my God. Hot take Mario. How are you?
Less hot take than normal. New Year, New Me is still in effect. I don't know how many months into the year can you still say New Year, New Me before you just stop being whatever you were last year. So fewer hot takes than my last appearance. Fewer calls for sackings than my last appearance. And a general optimistic attitude.
What? So
we are looking forward to all three of those.
You booked Hot Take Mario and you got like the pro wrestler in his 60s that just needs the money.
That's fair. All right, fine.
Well, Ebony, who brings us here today?
We're brought to you by Tasty Beverage Company right here in downtown Raleigh. Dark beer season is over, but they still have everything you need. They helped me break in my new cooler with some nice shandies and rattlers, and I'm excited about it. So stop by, tell them 6 Point Weekend sent you. You'll get a high five because we have not made any more stickers yet.
A crisp high five.
Absolutely.
We're also part of the Beautiful Game Network, BGN.FM, and we're still friends of the pod on Soccer and Sweet Tea.
Hashtag SNST fam.
Thank you. And because Justin still pays us, this 6 Point Weekend is brought to you by whiskey, because no good tailgate story started with a glass of milk.
Patreon.com/6 Point Weekend.
Yeah, that's how you make me say dumb crap like that.
Indeed.
Apparently, he's going to be changing it up soon for the summer, and it's also something I cannot agree with. So, well, if you like to see me in pain,
we've already gone through is a hot dog a sandwich, and now no good tailgate starts with milk. Yeah. Do your worst, Justin. Do your worst.
Well, speaking of doing their worst, let's start talking about North Carolina Football Club's game this weekend.
Hey, that's a segue. That's why he's a professional.
We were hoping for a 6 Point Weekend this weekend. Unfortunately, we only got...
We were a third. We got one third of the way to a six point.
We only got one point this weekend. And
we went
down to Atlanta. I played against ATL2, as I am going to call them from here on out, because everything else is just ridiculous.
ATL UTD2? That doesn't roll off the tongue.
Trademark.
No, it does not roll off the tongue well for me. So we went down there, and we were thinking that we were going to mop up on ATL2 like we did last year.
Fun fact.
Not the case.
They're better this year.
Yeah.
A lot better.
I believe we greatly underestimated the amount of talent that ATL2 has on their roster this season. Last year's team, you know, Donovan Owolo puts four past them down in Georgia easily. And this year's team, yeah, this was a much better squad. Just a few standouts on that squad that I saw. I didn't actually watch the game, but I watched the replay of the game. So I got to try to get a bit more of an objective look at it. There were two ATL players in particular. There's Gordon Wild, who's a 23-year-old midfielder, and Andrew Carlton, who's only 18 years old. But both of these guys made the 18 for their parent club, Atlanta United, in CONCACAF Champions League matches this year.
Yeah, and I know MLS basically treats the CCL knockout rounds as like go-hard friendlies because it happens before the regular season starts. But these kids were good, man. So I was here at London Bridge because we had the Hurricanes watch party, and then immediately following, we had the NCFC party. So we were already kind of in a bad mood. And then so the NCFC game starts, and we're like, oh, man, this is going to be awesome. And then the game starts, and we were like, oh, no. I don't know why we expected the team to stay, like, stagnant, but it just didn't happen, and you could tell without Deleuze on the field, there just wasn't.
It was a big loss.
There was the leadership wasn't there. I know everybody likes to like chide Austin for like, oh, he's a gritty, dirty player. Well, he's not a dirty player, but he's a son of a bitch. I'm glad he's on my team. I love Austin Deleuze, and you could tell it. that just wasn't there. Like, nobody was really digging into challenges. If there was a ball that was received under pressure, it was, oh, shit, hoof it. And, like, you can look at the passing statistics. We had, like, a 47-ish percent long pass rate, like completion.
So I didn't get to watch the game. I was at the Courage game. So I watched a little bit of the highlights. Our defense kind of wavered a little bit.
Well, they were out of place. Okay, so DJ had I think DJ had a really good game. He had the assist.
He had the assist for Marios Lomas' goal.
And he put
36
it.
Minute.
Marios had to trap it, but he put it on a dime where either Marios was going to trap it or was going to go out of the box. So he put it in the spot where it needed to go. I think Guillen had a pretty good game. Like, I know he's a pretty easy target for when the defense doesn't perform. But I honestly, I'm putting this one on Brotherton and Camisilla. Like, I think if those guys played a little better, maybe we come out with a draw. I don't know.
Well, the biggest problem is that when giving up the first goal in the first half, and this was in the 25th minute. So Camisilla had to deal with a really sort of awkward high bouncing ball, and he was trying to find a way to clear it. And so he just basically put it on his head and tried to get it as far as it would go. But unfortunately, it went right to the feet of Andrew Carlton. But here's the thing. Two guys get in front of Camisilla.
Yeah.
And so there's a couple of options for Carlton to play to. Sam Brotherton's playing them both onside.
Well, I think he was afraid that if he were further up, the dam might break. I think he was on, you know, offside trap, whatever that specific play is, but...
But as a defender, you have to know if you come forward just a little bit, because no one else was that far back.
Yeah.
If you come forward just a little bit, then the through ball goes to a player that's offside and the play is whistled dead. So that's, I think, going to be a very big teaching moment in the film room between Dave Sarakin and Sam Brotherton.
Well, it was a teaching moment in the pub, because we were all like, you know, we got the ball back, and it was one of those stereotypical, yes, 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 no, 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 no. Like, one of those. Like, we all knew as soon as that ball left his head, we were screwed. And, I mean, made us pay for it. Like, looking at the pregame graphic, the team released, it looked like we were still playing the Christmas tree, the format of
It wasn't quite the longleaf pine. The formation looked a little bit more, honestly, from what I saw, it looked a little bit more like a 4-4-2.
Yeah, and then
with Lomas and Spies top. Spies was a little bit further back than Lomas, so you could call it a 4-4-1-1.
Yeah, we were noticing that, like, the pregame graphic and the tweeted graphic, like, I don't think these guys are playing that. So I think this was an opportunity without Deleuze there to kind of experiment with, like, what a 4-4-2 would look like or a 4-4-1-1.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I could tell, Atlanta was playing a 4-4-2 as well. And given our recent run of form, it's pretty amazing how an undefeated streak turns into a winless run. It took two pretty bad goals from Atlanta to turn this into a winless run.
Yeah.
But, you know, I said before, like, I'm not going to Chicken Little this thing. Like, I'm not going to scream that the sky's falling. It's still early doors, but I think we can pretty confidently say that the opener was the opener. And the last four games are probably what we're going to see, a scrappy team that if we're going to win, it's going to be either a bad team has a bad night or, you know, we nick one and then just keep a clean sheet.
Well, I still want to see this team against more competition at this point, because you have to also take into account the fact that they actually set up four opportunities for themselves before giving up that first goal. You look in the 14th minute where Stephen Miller gets a well-worked shot, and Brendan Moore ended up, the goalkeeper for ATL2, ended up saving that shot. Brendan Moore had a fantastic game.
Yeah, I don't know if he was the man of the match, but my God, he should have been.
Officially on FotMob, they gave the man of the match award to Wesley Dikas.
All right, well, that's fine.
He was a 19-year-old center back who's on loan from Nacional.
He had a good game,
Portugal.
Too.
Portugal.
Like, if you want to, because it's hockey playoff season, they should have just given 3 stars for this game. The two kids that scored a goal and Brendan Moore, because that guy was on his head. We had plenty of chances where the people I was sitting with, we were you know, preparing to stand up and go, yay, we scored, but like getting up off our seats. And then it was just a collapse of sadness and disappointment, which as someone who supports NC State, I'm pretty used to that. You can't break my heart, NCFC. It's been broken.
I know this dance.
I've seen this movie.
Brandon Moore ended up getting at least two more saves in like the next 5 minutes at that point. Brandon Moore, 26-year-old goalkeeper, who up until the end of 2018 was playing for Rochdale in League One in England. Rochdale currently in 20th place in League One, one point ahead of, wait for it, AFC Wimbledon. The Great Escape is on. Come on, you Wombles.
All right.
So, but Donovan Awolo got an opportunity in the 15th minute that Moore pushed to the side. Marios Lomas got a header in the 19th minute that Moore managed to push over the bar. And then a few minutes later, Moore actually gets caught out of position, and it looks like we might finally get the goal. But in comes Wesley Dekus.
Out of nowhere, who basically
just comes and breaks up the play.
Yeah.
And heads the ball away. And it wasn't too long after that that Atlanta scored, and
then
they gained a lot of confidence after that.
After Atlanta scored, you could tell that they were ready to go because they were at home. They had just put a goal past, you know, air quotes, like
the team that beat Louisville City.
Yeah, the team that beat the defending champions. And then, well, that's not air quotes. That didn't really happen. But air quotes, like a stronger competitive team. And then in the next 11 minutes between the Atlanta goal in the 25th and the Lomas goal in the 36th, I thought both teams can score five in that 20 or in that 10 minutes because it was just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I didn't know how it was going
to
end.
I mean, it was a really hard, like, so my plan was to watch the game, like stream it while I was at the Courage match, but the stream was so bad and it took forever to load that I couldn't do it.
Well, as somebody who watched it from the bar, let me tell you, you did not miss much. I'll get on that soapbox during our halftime analysis. But my goodness.
Not a great stream, huh?
Well, no, the stream was okay. I do not have problems with the stream. I have problems with the camera operators and the director. I'm gonna put a question mark behind that word because I don't think there was one. Because they were, I'm just going to get in that set box now. Fine. Here it is.
All right. Go for it.
So,
go for it.
I went to college at Western Carolina. It is a very small school, very small directional school. And while I was there, I would work at the student TV station, and we would film live sports to run on the closed circuit channel. And it was always two cameras and a director. And the director would always scream in your ear if you were half a frame behind the action. I can't see where the ball's at. What are you doing? There were plenty of times where the camera one, like the guy, like the hard cam that's looking at the center circle, would just stay looking at the center circle, like he never moved. Or the commentary team would throw it to like a highlight during play, like during the run of play, they would throw it to a highlight. And so I think I was more disappointed in the broadcast than I was in NCFC's performance. Soapbox out.
All right. There you go. So one of the things that I know that Chuck talked about after the game was that NCFC wasn't making a whole lot of chances for themselves, which I'm not sure that was really true in this game because they managed to get off 12 shots in this game and they got five of them on frame.
Well, I think, from what I remember, I think they were maybe few and far between. And there were a lot of, like, Brendan Moore with the save. Brendan Moore with the save. And
yeah,
so
there was a lot of that.
If we had it in the box, it felt to me there was a greater chance of that guy making a save. And so, maybe, but I'd have to watch the whole game again. I haven't seen the whole game again.
So, and another thing worth noting here is that Atlanta's substitutions were a lot more effective, I think, in cutting off North Carolina FC's attack than NCFC was in actually getting more of an attack going. I think it was in the 56th minute, a player by the name of Laurent Kissiadou came on for ATL2. He was a very pacey winger. And as soon as he came in the game, you noticed that he was going right after Aaron Guillen and also going right after Graham Smith and Sam Brotherton and whoever was there on that right side. And
kind of like what Christo would do to other teams when he comes on as that late sub.
Kind of like what T. Schipollone used to do.
Yes.
He would be like, okay.
Very similar to T. Schipollone, actually.
Yeah, so this kid, you know, he probed the back line and he goes, who can I get by? And it on those examples, it happened to be Aaron. And he was just boom, boom, boom. And so, you know, we were sitting there going, maybe we need to sub in another defender, go five in the back, do
it
something.
It seemed that way. But then it was on ATL2's goal. It was Kissiadou who basically got one over on Graham Smith. And Sam Brotherton didn't do Smith any favors. He was trying to get the ball. He was trying to clear the ball out of the back, and he got it to Smith, but it was too really very close to the top of the box. Kissiadou managed to jump in, intercept it. He found Jackson Conway right in front of goal, and it was he set up way too easy a finish. We should not be setting up finishes that easily for the other team.
Yeah, so, and then I have one thing to add about Graham's performance, and it was it's not even a dig. It's just one thing that I noticed that I kind of, like, I laughed out loud at. And it was the foul right before halftime where Atlanta was on the break and Graham grabs the guy and the guy falls down, right?
It was a professional foul.
It was a very professional foul. Graham got carded. To whom it may concern, i.e. the 20 people that were in the stands at this particular second, that's not like a red card offense. Why are you screaming for blood that Graham should be kicked out of the game? It was a professional foul. The guy Graham fouled got up laughing. Graham helped him up and had a laugh too because it was one of those, I had you beat, and Graham went, yeah, you did. and they got on with it. So like every card in a game shouldn't be a straight red. So
every foul isn't a straight red against your players.
Ugh.
Yeah.
But that was definitely a yellow card. I don't think no one was going to argue that.
No, I'm not going to argue that, but like he got beat, he fouled the guy, and you know all the Atlanta fans were just, like, you could hear them audibly screaming for a red card as if he like kicked him in the face. He just pulled him down.
Yeah.
Which, whatever. But, and then, so during halftime, I was a little keyed up, and then so I walked the block like 8 times and by the time I got back, you know, the second half started, and I thought we were going to get a goal when Lomas took the ball off the defender and the shot, if there would have been a Rosie, it would have landed in Rosie.
He Bentnered it is what you're saying.
He Bobby Zamora'd it from QPR in the championship final.
Okay.
Google it, kids.
There's a couple references for you. Bobby Zamora and Nicholas Bentner in the same podcast. More broken car windows from shots than you could possibly imagine.
I know, right?
It can only go up from here, guys.
Yeah, well, their shots only go up from there.
And then Jackson Conway got free. The kid from Atlanta got free. And we thought like he headed it in or he chested it in. But upon further review, it bounced off his forearm. So
it very clearly bounced off his forearm.
Which, you know, they said it was an accident, but he slid as if he was sliding into second base, where, like, where you have your hands up to, like, slow your momentum down. And it bounced off his arm. So
not a goal.
Not a goal.
No.
But, you know, their whole stadium, you know, went off and the 10 of us were like, oh, dear.
But then we were really, oh dear, when they actually scored the goal.
Oh, goodness.
And the worst part about it is you get into the last few minutes and, you know, we bring in offensive substitutions. Robbie Christo came in late and they brought in defensive. Yeah, exactly. So it was a very clearly an offensive substitution going to a 3-4-3 like that. And then they bring in a defensive substitution. We get Graham Smith gets a shot off from distance in the 87th minute on target, but not enough power behind it. NCFC would not get another shot off after that. It's like they were completely shut down. ATL2 took the ball and basically played keep away for the next 3 minutes in stoppage time.
They four-cornered it. Here's another old reference, kids.
Well, that is a very old reference.
If you don't know what the four corners are, Google it.
Google Phil Ford, kids.
Yeah. So basically, Atlanta was like, hey, I'm going to hold on to this ball until you come to get it. And as soon as you come to get it, oh, I'm going to pass it. And it was that for 4 minutes. It was excruciating.
Yeah, it was pretty awful. So only two shots on goal for the Dead Whales in the second half. Just the pace and the pressure from Atlanta really weakened NCFC's attack in the second half. They played it extremely well. ATL2 had more shots and more shots on goal in the second half. They simply outplayed us in this game. And I think we have to consider ATL2 as a potential playoff contender at this point, because they look like a team that is capable of finishing in the top eight.
Top 10, right?
Is it top 10 to make the playoffs this year?
Is it 10?
Is it 10 or 8?
I thought it was 8.
Is it 8?
Okay. I believe it's still 8.
It was 8 last year, and I thought somebody said it expanded. I'll come back later.
We'll look this up during the break, be sure.
So the
line when the USL puts out their graphic is at 10.
Yeah. So like they expanded the playoffs to a weird number, and there's like a bye round, or it's like a basketball tournament where there's like a bye. And I don't know. I guess if you're going to look big picture, there are a lot of teachable moments coming out of this game. It is the first loss of the season.
Yes.
Coming off two nail biters that we came back for draws, and it just wasn't in the cards this week. And you know what? I'm okay with that. Like Dave, when he was here, he said, hey guys, we're going to have up days. We're going to have down days. It's a work in progress. Just keep the faith. And I mean, as of right now, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, that's where most of us are at this point. I don't think anyone's abandoning this team just because they suffered their first loss of the season.
No.
Against what's proven to be a really good team.
I think we take from this game, you coach them through a couple of hard times that we had in that game, and then we prepare for Matthews.
Yes.
Which
is the big game.
Yeah.
We are three days into Matthews Hate Week.
Yeah.
Only, oh, goodness. Four more days.
That's a lot of hate, my friends.
They're playing right now.
They're playing Beth Steele, which gave us all we could handle when we went up there.
Yeah.
So.
But we came out with results.
We did.
As of the 42nd minute right now, Matthews is actually leading Beth Steele 1-0.
What? It is also McKenna Day for them.
Keep in mind, Beth Steele plays well late. So we have to keep that in mind.
Well, so do the Independents, because apparently they don't turn on until the 70th minute.
Right. Because
there's still that stupid graphic where in the first, 40 or first, 70 minutes of a game, they're still being outscored like 7-4 or something like that. In the last 20 minutes, they're blowing them away.
But then that doesn't help when you're getting blown out in those first 70 minutes.
True. It doesn't. And then, so we have the away day to Matthews, which is on Saturday. By the way, if you haven't gotten your ticket, Oak City Supporters is they're doing a bus ride down. I cannot plug this enough as someone that's not a regular on this podcast, because I went to one of the games last year on the bus, and it was a fantastic time.
Oh my God, it was great.
T's and P's to Dave, who decided to wait until we got there to eat his food.
His cold Bojangles.
I have to keep explaining this to everybody, because everyone keeps riding me for this. Everyone said beforehand that there was no food at Matthews. That you get to the stadium and there's like no options to eat. And so I brought the Bojangles thinking, oh, I don't want to eat this too early because I want to make sure I have something for dinner.
You also probably shouldn't have drank all 50 ounces of that beer so early.
Well,
oh yeah, the 11% oatmeal stout. What didn't help?
We're not drunk. We're OCS.
Okay.
But yeah, if you haven't purchased a ticket, if you're thinking about going and you either don't live in that area or you don't have family in that area like I do, get a ticket to the bus, because it's the most fun you probably won't remember, at least most of it. It's a long day. I will go ahead and tell you that up front, but it's super fun, and I know the team appreciates us going.
But
you're not driving.
You've got a ticket to the game.
And you got a battle buddy.
Yeah.
And you can drink on the bus.
Always.
Yes.
And then the week after that, we've got Hartford Athletics. Ugh.
Well, going back to that, let's just mention, go to oakcitysupporters.com. You can find your tickets there. Tickets for the bus ride and the ticket to the game, only $30.
Right.
And you'll be hanging out with a really fun bunch.
Yep.
And I will be bringing, I'll be bringing the playing cards again this time as
well.
Are
you going?
Oh, yeah. I am going this time.
Okay.
So I said before that I wasn't sure if I could go because I'm still recovering from bad shrimp. But... But yes, I have decided that I am going to go to this one.
Yes.
So I had so much fun on the bus last year that I just didn't want to miss it this year.
Yeah, you guys are going to want to get in on that.
Yes. So North Carolina FC right now in eighth place in the Eastern Division of USL.
That's because Beth Steele's in action currently, right?
Right. Right. Beth Steele is ahead of us regardless of their result. So... But we are in eighth place with 8 points, 2 wins, 2 draws, and a loss. And we are definitely looking to improve that record this weekend.
But not including today's game for Matthews. Right now, they have 4 losses and a draw in their last 5 games. We're not counting this one, the one they're playing currently right now.
Yeah, no, they have 4 losses and then Romario Williams.
Yeah. So right now... We're in a little slump, but we're getting results because we have 2 draws. That loss kind of hurts a little bit, but we're catching Matthews on a short week because they're playing tonight, and then they have to play us Saturday. So we get a little bit more rest, a little bit more time to get some things right.
And then the week after that, we have the worst team since organized religion in Hartford Athletic.
Hartford Athletic, yes. They are not doing well. I believe they are in last place. Yes, they are.
No wins from 6 games. And what's their goal difference? -9 or 10?
-11.
Oh.
So are we going to do the over-under of 4?
So at the beginning of this month, I and a bunch of other supporters were like, I would hope that we get 10 points out of these 4 games. Well, that ain't happening. So we have 2 games left this month. We have at Matthews and home against Hartford Athletic. If you're going to set the over under for how many points we're going to get, I'd set it at 4.5. Are you going to go over under 4.5 points from 2 games?
Well, you could. I was going to let you push at the 4.
No pushing is for sissies.
Fine. Over under 4.5.
Make the putt, damn it. No gimmies. So we'll set the over under at 4.5 and. I gotta say, from a fan's perspective, I'd say over, because as a fan, I want 6. We have Austin to lose on rest. You know, he got the week off last week.
True.
Will he be back this week?
Yes.
Yeah,
it was only one game.
Okay.
We double checked that one.
Okay, good. I'm gonna go over as well. I'm going to say we go down to Matthews and we win that game 2-1.
I was gonna go with the over 2. Because at first I was going to push with 4 because we tie Matthews.
You can still say under and just go with four.
But
I mean, that's a win and a draw.
The realistic person in me says 4, so under. But the fan in me says 6, so over. So I'm going to be optimistic and I'm going to go with the over.
I think there are enough veterans on this team who understand the importance of this rivalry.
DJ, Austin, Tim Backus was there
Miller.
Last year. Well,
there were a lot of guys that were on the team last year who, you know, are returning. And the ones who weren't on team, I mean, we had 4 guys in the 18 that were youth academy products. So, you know, by proxy, they have a pretty good understanding. Like Manny, he has a pretty good understanding of like what this game means.
Yes.
I don't know if Dre will be able to go because I don't know if he pulled a hammy or if he, you know, did like what he just did. He wasn't in the 18, but boy, we gotta get 6, man. Gotta get 6.
Yeah. I think this is going to be a crucial stretch for the Dead Whales. They need to be able to get some, to show that they can rebound from this loss and win a big rivalry game. And plus just to be able to beat the team that is officially the worst team in USL Championship right now.
Yeah, well, and that,
speaking
that,
of Southern Derby, but like in terms of Southern Derby, we've got to win.
Charleston beat them by 2?
2 goals, right. So if we want to continue to be on pace with Charleston to keep the Southern Derby, we have to win, and it has to be by more than 2 goals.
Yeah, so go ahead and chalk up at Charleston is probably a draw. you know, let's just say we draw like we did last year. We had two. We had a draw and a loss against Charleston. So what won us the cup last year? Goal differential against Charlotte. The Independents. So let's go do it, boys.
Yes. Let's go do it, boys. Let's go beat Matthews.
I'm down for
and
that.
We will, and the three of us, I know, will be there.
Yes.
Cheering you on. So I think that's about it for this segment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll take a short break here, and then we will talk a bit about the best women's soccer team on the planet, the North Carolina Courage.
Well, we didn't have any questions, so maybe we'll talk a little bit of Canes, too.
Y'all can talk Canes. I haven't really, not really following. I know they're in the playoffs. I know they've been playing well, but no, I have not been. I have not.
We'll do a brief Canes rundown.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to 6 Point Weekend. Before we get into this segment about the North Carolina Courage, I want to take a moment to speak to Pierre Sobrier, who works in the Portland Thorns organization, but you may know him better as Mr. Crystal Dunn. My man. I know you're pleased with the organization that's paying you. I know you want to show some love for the organization that is paying you, and you want to show some love for the players of the organization that is paying you. But, dog, you do not vote for another woman over your wife, dog.
What happened to happy wife, happy life?
You just don't do that.
I think that was my service. I think the minister just said, we gather here today, happy wife, happy life, amen.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, and I don't care what the vote is for. I mean, as long as it's a positive vote. You don't want to vote for your wife for like crackhead of the week or anything like that. To be voting for another woman over your wife after she...
Goal of the week, right?
Yeah, goal of the week.
Yeah.
After she nutmegged a Chicago defender to score the equalizer. Big goal, beautiful goal. And you're going to play your wife like that. My man, you're going to come home with Prince on the stereo singing, "Don't make me sleep on the couch."
I'm cutting his mic off now.
I mean, I was going to make the joke that whenever they come to town, if he needs a spare room, I've got two in Durham. Because he might need to stay in Durham because Crystal might beat him all the way to Durham.
That's entirely possible. So I'm telling you, my man, you just need to call up my man Flowers by Henry up in Lewisburg, North Carolina. He'll hook you up. You know, tell him you just need the biggest I fucked up bouquet that you could possibly imagine and get that thing delivered to Crystal's apartment as quickly as possible.
How do we know, though, he didn't make like a bot account and vote for Crystal like 5 times?
That's true. This is Twitter. So that
but
is possible.
But she added his actual account.
Yeah, she added him. So
yeah, so Crystal didn't see all of that.
So well, she didn't see the bots.
So what I'm telling you is to tell her you made 5 bot accounts. Go make 5 bot accounts. And then you vote for Crystal 5 times. It's all good, man.
It's all good.
All right.
Those 5 counter the one.
That's 4 positive votes.
But it wasn't from his personal account, so...
So,
I mean, I'm not advocating cheating in a voting system. I'm just saying, hypothetically...
It's just goal of the week, though. I mean...
Hypothetically speaking, if the opportunity to stuff the ballot box for your wife came up, I would do it.
And there you go.
You go from there. Other than that, the only thing I can say about the Courage is one game in, still why so good, because I didn't see it. I'm just going to assume that they beat them by 15, and we're all good.
Unfortunately, that was
in
not
shots,
the case.
Yeah.
In shots, yeah. There were a ton of shots in this game. But unfortunately, this one ended in a 1-1 draw, which was the same result as really the last 2 years that Chicago came to town during the regular season.
Yeah.
So nothing too much has changed. It was the same Courage team that we saw last year, minus Dabinia, whom I believe is still...
She's injured?
Is she out injured right now?
Yeah.
Or is she on international duty?
I thought the only substitution was Labbe LeBay in
Stephanie,
goal?
Stephanie LeBay was in goal because Katie Rowland is injured.
She is injured.
So we know she's out injured. And then Denise O'Sullivan came in for Dabinia.
Yeah.
Out on the wing. And it was the same attacking Courage team that we saw last season. They were relentless. They put up a lot of shots. They relied a lot more on quantity over quality, unfortunately, which we saw a lot last season. 24 shots total, but only really 6 of them on goal. The ones that were on goal were pretty wicked, though.
Yeah, they were some. I mean, they heard the word go and flew down the wings, and there we go. It was just off to the races from there. But it's the same thing that was happening last year. A lot of chances, not a lot of finishing in the beginning of the season. They're going to get their footing. They have Orlando Wednesday. Orlando's not good.
Especially not good in the back.
Yeah, no. They started a midfielder in the center back role for her first game against, like, pretty much, like, if you think ours is an all-star team, this is like the McDonald's All-American, like the Tobin Heath, like the Portland Thorns line.
I feel like that was a tactical error.
Yeah. And the other center back was a first-time starter. It was her first game, professional game, and they threw her in that back line in front of Ashlyn. And Allie Krieger's going to Allie Krieger, so she just got lost in all the sauce over there on the right side. Their defensive midfield did not do any of them any favors.
So short of getting up to goal, how'd the Courage back line look?
Oh, they looked great.
I think they looked great. I mean, the only real issue I think they had, I mean,
Sam Kerr.
Where Sam Kerr. Exactly. Sam Kerr is
going to... But that's everybody.
Sam Kerr. Yeah. You know, she played that offside trap brilliantly and found herself in a one-on-one with Stephanie LeBay. And there's just not a whole lot of goalkeepers that can handle Sam Kerr one-on-one
Sam Kerr does Sam Kerr things. That's what we expected. That's what I expected. So I expected her to either score one or two. She scored one, almost scored two.
Almost scored that one right at the end that bounced off the crossbar.
Right.
And Abby Ersig thankfully cleared that thing away.
Well, it was close. It was almost a handball. Like, if you didn't see the video, so Sam Kerr got behind the line. She chipped it. It hit the crossbar. It bounced outward instead of inward, and Abby came running in so fast, so she had to, like, matrix it a little bit and missed her hand and arm missed the ball, and then she cleared it. And I was like, that was just some freaky crap right there. I don't know.
Because Abby Ersig is going to Abby Ersig.
Yeah.
You know, she's going to make some amazing plays. So, and that's what she did through a lot of this game. Whenever she was needed defensively, which really was not that often. Abby Ersig and Abby Dahlkemper both stepped up.
I'm upset that Nikki Stanton went down in front of us, hard hit, like that. I heard the ball hit her face. That's how hard that ball hit her face. And they let her come back out in the field.
There was no concussion protocol or anything there, was there?
Did they give her like this, like a smell test or a flashlight in the eye test?
They
would count to five backwards.
She laid on the ground for so long, and then she sat up. They kept her there for like another minute, and then she stood up and walked off. And I was like, okay, they're gonna sub her. Cool. She doesn't need to play anymore. And then like 2 minutes later, like they were doing some tests on the sideline, and then 2 minutes later she comes back on the field. I'm like, what the hell is happening right now? Am I in the Twilight Zone? I'm pretty sure she was knocked out before she hit the ground. That was like Svetch last night. He was knocked out before he hit the ice. We'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
His fighting career is...
It
began and ended.
With that one.
In about 6 seconds in her right hand.
Jess went down for a little bit, but she got back up.
She got back up.
It took a little bit. So I hope she seemed to be doing fine after the challenge.
Her long throw continues to be pretty dangerous.
It's still long.
As well. It's still very long. Although she actually faked a long throw in setting up the goal
yes.
for Crystal Dunn, because that was set up off of a throw-in, and she found Crystal Dunn in some open space towards I guess the near side of goal, and that was when Dunn nutmegged the defender and put the ball on frame and put it past Nair for the equalizer. That was in the 66th minute, I believe. Yes. So it was really one of the few times that Alyssa Nair was caught out of position, because she made some very good saves in this game.
She was very dominant that game.
And which has happened before here. I mean, there's been multiple occasions where Nair just seems to play her best in North Carolina.
See, you hate it as a Courage fan, but with the World Cup coming up, you love to see it as a national team player.
Well, as somebody who doesn't go to all the Courage games, like, I kind of, like, I'm that guy. Like, I cherry pick, like, the good ones that I want to go to.
That's fair.
All the times I've seen Chicago, I've only seen us beat them once at home. Like, actually at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So.
But that was because that deflected goal.
Yeah, it was yeah, yeah, it was a pretty bad looking goal, but it went in and we won.
Right.
So of all the, like, Chicago's a good team. We're a good team. What happens when two good teams play each other? You're probably going to get a draw. So.
Except for when we played Portland, we beat them four times last season.
We don't count them as good team. I didn't, like, we're not counting rugby teams.
True.
Yeah, no, fair, this is true.
Fair.
I mean, Tobin Heath is still on my permanent sporting shit list, by the way. I don't care how many goals she scores in France this summer. She can go have a seat over there next to Francisco Cabrera and Purvis Ellison.
But.
So.
Oof.
But.
Google's going to crash when everybody hears this. Gonna, who are they talking about?
Who the hell is.
Who is Francisco Cabrera? What is
what
this?
What the fuck is that?
What
mean?
Are you talking about? So.
You guys dropped three names that all the young kids are going to have to go look up. I got to look up that third one. But
welcome, fellow youth.
Youths. So anyway, it was a 1-1 draw to open.
Yeah.
And
they have a quick turnaround.
They do have a quick turnaround. They are playing tomorrow evening against Orlando.
Yeah.
We beat Orlando pretty badly in the preseason.
Which I would say was a good test, because they used a lot of their starters. For a lot of that game, and we still hammered him. The one person that I was really impressed with in that Orlando game was Leah Pruitt.
Leah Pruitt looked really good against Chicago as
well.
Yeah,
she got to come in and make her professional debut, for the NWC, against Chicago, and she came in and she went straight at him, and I love to see that. So
I know, you know, we always look at, you know, our rookie strikers one way or another, and we do kind of compare them. Ashley Hatch, of course, was rookie of the year, scored about 7 goals for us. Mm-hmm. And then Darian Jenkins came in last year, didn't get a whole lot of playing time, really only got that 1 goal against PSG in the International Champions Cup.
Yeah.
So looking at Leah Pruitt, though, I have to say she looks a little bit more
dangerous.
Hatch than Jenkins.
Yeah. Well,
she looks very dangerous.
At the
very
season ticket, preseason kickoff party in Durham that the club put together, you know, I was just sort of walking around and literally and figuratively, like, ran into Paul Riley. And I was like, hey, coach, you know, thanks for last season. Go get him. And he was like, I'm not going to try to do his accent because I'm going to butcher it. And he did that whole Paul Riley, well, let me tell you what, son, speech, where based on him describing someone else's athletic ability, I was ready to go. And according to Paul, like, this team is stacked, and we just don't know it because we haven't seen it. And
that's scary.
T's and P's to the NWSL because – you think you're going to get a break during the World Cup, and I'll guarantee you Paul has the end of the bench ready to prove themselves in this league.
Yes. So the one disappointment coming out of this weekend is that we found out that Haley Harbison, who was our other number one draft pick, is unfortunately out for the season
as a
result of ACL, MCL.
Yeah, I'm tired of ACL tears.
Yeah, so am I. So it's really unfortunate for Haley. We wish her all the best. Hope she gets well very soon. And kind of a shame that happened, like, right after we traded Morgan Reed to Orlando.
That's usually how injuries work.
Yeah, because
as soon as you don't need one, they show up.
Yeah, then most unfortunate. But we wish her the best as far as her recovery goes, and we certainly wish the Courage the best tomorrow night against Wednesday evening, I should say, against Orlando.
I mean,
what are we thinking in this game?
I'm going 2-0. Ashley Harris is going to do Ashlyn Harris things.
Is Marta playing?
She played on Sunday and didn't look good.
Okay. Is Sydney LaRue playing?
No, she's pregnant.
Oh, congratulations. I told you,
you're being that guy there,
Simon. I love the Courage. I'm so glad they're here. That's what I got. I love you. I love you guys. Keep winning. I mean, I've seen us play Orlando a few times, and I've seen us beat Orlando a bunch. I'm going to go five. They're going to hang a fiver.
1, 2, or 4?
5.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to go 4-1.
Okay.
I think we're going to get a whole bunch of goals against this team.
Give me a Pruitt goal, a Hamilton goal, a Lynn goal, and a Dunn goal, because Crystal Dunn is a forward who scores goals,
as she did against Chicago on Saturday.
Yeah, Jill. and I'm happy. That 4-0 is cool, but I thought it was going to be Crystal and Leah Pruitt for my 2-0. But whatever.
So as far as 6-point weekend picks, I mean, it sounds like all of us are fairly confident. Did we do scoreline predictions for at Matthews, or did we just give the over-under?
We gave the over-under. We all chose the over.
I gave my prediction. I think I think we're going to get a 2-1 win.
So we're looking at a 6-point weekend.
I'm hoping for one.
That's what we're counting on.
I need one.
Let's Otherwise, what's the point of naming this show that, you know? So
I don't know, man. But I'm super pumped for this week for both teams.
Yes. I think this is going to be a great week for both teams.
We're going to have a nice little OCS contingent there. Unofficial OCS contingent there, I think. I mean, checking Facebook, it's going to be about 15 of us, 10, 15.
If you're listening to this before kickoff, hi. And, you know, try to make it out of the game. It should be pretty fun.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow night. And, of course, you know, Alex Morgan is going to be there, fresh off getting her ass beat by Megan Klingenberg in that game against Portland. Did y'all see that clip?
Hot takes. Yes.
Was that even a foul?
They didn't call the foul. They didn't call anything on it.
Was Danielle Chesky reffing that game?
God, you and your references today.
I'm telling you.
So I don't understand what was wrong with the foul. Because they both ride each other. Alex is grabbing Kling. Kling is grabbing Alex. I think it's not a yellow card. Their foul should have been called, but it's not a yellow because they're both pulling at each other. Klingenberg just happens to pull a little bit harder at the end, and Alex went down softer than Charmin. That's just my take on it, though. It should have been a foul.
Definitely should have been a foul. Maybe even a yellow. I mean, Kling came at her pretty hard.
Yeah, but they both came at each other hard. Alex initiated the contact.
Right.
So that's where the first grab was. Kling retaliated. Grabbed her as well.
Mm-hmm.
Kling got the last grab, which made Alex go down, which should have been called for the foul, but it's not a yellow. Everyone's calling for yellows. Orlando Pride fans are calling for yellows, reds, ejections, but no. It was a foul, and that's it. That's just soccer.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Sounds like the Orlando Pride fans and the Atlanta United 2 fans are on the same boat. If you foul one of our people, straight red.
Straight red.
Straight red. Straight red. Get off the pitch.
And it was Alex Morgan, so double red, suspension for the rest of the season. But because it's Portland, it's even worse. So those fans are out in droves.
Yeah, Portland, the ref will help you hide the body.
Yeah. You know?
So
I mean, don't get me wrong. Portland can go die in a fire.
Didn't expect that. Rip your ears if you have headphones.
Like you can throw You can make a second team of Portland and throw them both in the trash. That's how much I don't like them.
Yes.
But a foul.
I'm right there with you, Ebony.
It's just a foul, guys.
Right there with you. So come on out tomorrow evening. Check out the Courage beating the crap out of the Orlando Pride. That's certainly what we're hoping for and what we are expecting out of that game. So, as far as 6-point weekend picks, results were all pretty much the same as last week, except everybody lost however many points Chuck says everybody lost. So Jonathan's still in first. I'm still in second. Everyone else tied for third.
Yeah.
By the way, Chuck didn't like my idea for what happens to last place.
What?
My pick, because there's like the table where Jonathan is clearly in first place. And then there's the middle, and then there's last place that's highlighted in red. And my half joke cast suggestion was that the person that ends up in last place gets relegated to picking Charlotte Independence games next year.
Ooh. I don't know if I like that. Well, it could be just KP, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah, there you go.
It was shot down by Chuck very quickly.
Well, no, I thought we were wearing the whale suit, Willie's whale suit.
Ooh.
It hasn't been washed.
Oh yeah.
In two seasons.
Yeah, that would be a really horrible fate for last place.
Yeah.
Right there.
Quick shout out. When we were here for the watch party, the OCS Pride scarves came in early. So shout out to Ebony and Zach for designing those and getting those going. They are A, fantastic. B, it goes to a great cause. And C, they're not heavy. So you can wear them outside at an NCFC or an NC Courage game and not want to die.
Yeah.
There you go.
That was the point behind it. Like, I was like, summer scarf because I want those colors to pop. And I don't want anyone to die while wearing them.
Well, they are.
Of course, all proceeds for this go towards Playing for Pride,
yep.
Which is Austin DeLuz's organization promoting LGBTQ acceptance and equality within the game of soccer and all facets of life.
All sports.
All sports.
Athlete Ally expanded to all sports.
Yes.
It was really cool to make them. Me, Zach, Ford, we spend a lot of time on that. Especially trying to make it happen. Chuck came in at the end and helped with that, and Austin came in and we ran it by Austin, and we were just like, what do you think? Do you think you guys want to be a part of it? And he was like, those just look dope. I absolutely would love to be a part of it.
While supplies last, because I think there are a few left
that
haven't
been digits left.
Yeah, so it's a great cause. It's another piece of OCS swag, OCS merch. I mean, I can't say anything other than it's a great cause. Go buy one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And where can we buy one?
They're on Oak City Supporters website.
OakCitySupporters.com.
Yep. Like we said, there's literally less than 10 left. So
get yours quick.
I was not expecting them to sell out as fast as they did, but I'm very happy and grateful that you guys love it so much that you have bought them as fast as you have.
I like as soon as they went live, I went, I'm gonna need at least one of these.
Yeah.
And then another shout out real quick, another one of Zach's projects is the U23 supporters group.
Yep.
I had on here when their home opener was and it escapes me. So it's May the 10th on it's a Friday. So if you're listening to this and you like having a nice rowdy time, come check out the U23s. Zach's trying to get a group together, so it should be a pretty fun time.
The U23 Cardinal Collective. U23s play in USL League 2 this season, and you can follow the Cardinal Collective on Twitter at Cardinal RAL.
Yes.
So that is Cardinal RAL. So one other thing that about Zach, he and a few other members of Oak City Supporters have been putting in a lot of work in getting the North Carolina FC subreddit together and helping generate a little more interest in the club. You can also follow subreddit posts on Twitter at RedditNCFC. That'll help you keep up to date. Or you can just go to r/NorthCarolinaFC on Reddit, and you can check out NCFC and talk about NCFC there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great ways to get involved with NCFC or the NC Courage through Oak City supporters. If you're out there and you feel like you want to join, you've come hang out a couple times, or you know, you like to paint, you like to trace, Zach could use help on TIFOs. If you want to field a phone call at 2 o'clock in the afternoon that says, hey, you want to jump on a podcast?
You never know when we might ask you.
Yeah.
If you want to stay up all night in the rain and cook a pig.
6-point weekend is full of surprises.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. The cookout. Yes.
That was adventurous. Now that we've done it once, I think we've kind of gotten our feet wet, and I'm itching to do it again for the closer.
I'm down. However, I'm going to tell you right now, if it rains, I'm out.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm not doing that again in the rain.
Yeah. That's fair. I think I would build a little bit more of a shelter than we did last time. But yeah, it was so much fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Lot of pig.
That was a lot of pig.
I mean,
very tasty pig.
I mean, you kind of waste money if you get anything less than 100 pounds. I found that out of a lot of extensive research.
Mm-hmm.
I called a lot of pig places. They wouldn't sell me the head meanies. But it was worth it, I think. We had fun.
Yeah, it didn't devolve into an East Coast, West Coast sauce throwdown like I thought it might.
I thought we were going to have to break up. We had police on hand, so hey.
We did have police on hand. We bribed them in barbecue.
Yes. There was a lot of sauces made for that.
So if you're listening to this and you feel like, hey, I have a friend that kind of likes soccer or just likes to be social, bring them out, man. We got plenty of room in our stand. South stand's never full. I mean, like the entire South stand.
Yeah.
There's plenty of room in the South stand for more folks, and we would love to see more folks out at the games. So,
do you guys want to
want to talk about the Canes at all?
Just a little bit.
Game one,
local.
I cried a little. Game two,
I cursed a lot.
Yeah. Game three, we fucking won. So game four is this week on Thursday, I believe.
I'm so ready. I'm going to that game.
If you're going to the game, I'm going to go ahead and tell you bring earplugs because
it does get loud in there.
Other than that, that's all I have on the Canes.
Well, a little bit about yes. Was it yesterday? Yeah,
yes,
yesterday.
Last night. Yeah. At the time of recording, the game was last night.
Yes. 10 years this city has gone without the Canes being in the playoffs. And a lot of emotion came out of that game from the fans.
A lot of emotion came out of that game through the commentary team.
Yes.
You could tell the entire city, because I didn't live in Raleigh the last time the Hurricanes made the playoffs. Yeah. I was in Raleigh like as an intern. And so I was just like, oh, man, this is awesome. This must happen all the time. And then there was, you know, Moses in the desert for 10 years.
I remember a friend of mine actually worked for the Hurricanes the year they won the Stanley Cup. And she has several pictures of herself drinking various things, including one when she basically has a gigantic champagne bottle that she is just chugging down. In the photo, it's really fantastic. So
really exciting sports time in the Triangle.
It is. Yes. It is. There's lots of great stuff happening here. The Canes in the playoffs, the Courage season starting up once again. NCFC
are making their way through.
Making their way through the season. So
I mean, because not going to lie, I cried at the final home game of the regular season. I cried. It's a great time to be a sports fan here in Raleigh.
In the Triangle.
Like
yeah.
We were saying, like, I can't wait to get to that stadium on Thursday and see the hype and be a part of that hype. Because no matter what happens in the series, everyone kept saying, oh, it's going to be a 4-game sweep. The Caps are going to destroy us, blah, blah, blah.
Those jerks.
No, like, can't say that now. It's going 5 games.
Jerks won a game.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot take that away. Onwards and upwards. This is a weird time because I'm actually optimistic.
About multiple teams?
About multiple teams. The Mets are always going to Mets. State will break my heart next year. But right now, the Hurricanes are good. NCFC is doing their thing, and the Courage are the defending champions. That cannot be changed.
Yep.
God.
Can't be there, man.
What can we do?
Sign me up, Paul Riley. I can give speeches too.
And I think that will pretty much bring a close to this edition.
I think I broke Ebony.
We just broke Ebony. That will bring a close to this edition of the 6 Point Weekend Podcast, brought to you by our friends at the Tasty Beverage Company.
TastyBeverageCo.com.
We are part of the Beautiful Game Network on BGN.FM and friends of the pod of Soccer and Sweet Tea.
Hashtag SNST fam.
Please follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram
at 6 Point Weekend.
At 6 Point Weekend. Do not leave any messages on Instagram. Ebony will not answer them. Make sure you leave reviews for us on iTunes and Google Podcasts if you like what you're hearing. We are up for Indie Week's Best of Awards. Along with our wonderful sponsors, Tasty Beverage Company. So please visit us on Twitter for a link to those nominations. We would appreciate your vote. Pierre, we'd appreciate your vote too. You got a little something to make up for. Just saying. And I think that's it. So for Ebony.
Hello.
And for Simon.
Goodbye.
I'm Dave. And we will catch you next week on 6 Point Weekend.
Peace.